Welcome to the Potter's House Reynoldsburg weekly message. We desire to be a place where broken vessels are made new. We pray this week's message encourages and strengthens you. To learn more about the Potter's House, you can visit pottershouse.org.
How many times in the scripture, and I'm going to tell you how many times in a minute, but I want you to just think. How many times in the scripture did God say, "Fear not, do not be afraid"? Many times. And yet, it is socially and churchy accepted for us to live in fear. I'm not talking about have moments of fear. You're going to have moments of fear. But to live in fear, to make decisions in fear, to react in fear is a sin. It is, again, you're going to have days of fear. You might have 3 days, 4 days, 5, you may have a week where you are just afraid, you don't know how you're going to do it, there is doubt, but you have to turn to the scriptures and understand, I am called to make decisions out of faith and out of belief. And so I want to define ferocious for you. I love that word. It's like Francisco, all the elf fans in the room. Ferocious, it means savagely fierce or violent. I have a savagely fierce faith. Come on, let that sit on you today. I have a violent faith. The Bible said that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent people take it by force. Take it by force. And God, he's given you a promise. Everybody say promise. He has given you a promise. He has given you an inheritance. And part of this message, I preached on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago in the main sanctuary, but I feel like in order to understand ferocious faith, there is so many characters in the scripture that we can draw from, but there's one in particular, and there's one that God said had a different spirit. Everybody say different. He had a different spirit, and that was the man named Caleb. His name was Caleb. And I want to talk to you first off about a different promise. Here's the promise that God gave the children of Israel. In Genesis 15 and 18, the Bible said, "To your descendants, I give this land from the river Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." The land was given. How many of you know the promises of God are given, they are not earned? God gives promises. He has given you promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible said, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." Through us. So faith is the key to accessing the promises of God. Come on. Man, y'all are quiet this morning. I need y'all to get over this summer. You get over the fact that we're in summer. We're here. Now help me. Faith is the key to accessing the promises of God. It's the key. And fear will keep you from those promises. Fear will, again, it's the most widely accepted sin in the church. And so in order to identify what is faith, we have to identify what fear is. What faith is not. And fear not. In the context that we want, the don't be afraid of anything, fear not, you know, God is strong. In that kind of context, it is used over 110 times in the scriptures. In that context. Every other time, you don't want God to be telling you that they're not good. Basically, it was people are not going to fear you, and they will fear not of you. You don't want that kind of fear not. But 110 times in the scriptures, the Bible says, "Fear not." He said that 110 times, and yet he should only have to say it once. But he said it 110 times for people like me who need God to tell me 38 times, or 110 in this case, what I'm supposed to do. And so I begin to understand fear is not of the kingdom of God. Come on. Fear is not in the kingdom. In fact, because you are a son and daughter, fear is not a part of the adoption package of the kingdom. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible said, for them that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, and you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So you are coming out of this kingdom of darkness where fear is the ruler and into a kingdom of light where fear is considered bondage. He said, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And so fear, let's look at fear for a minute. The second perspective I want you to see, the first perspective, but the second point is a fearful perspective. We're going to talk about Caleb today and how he took the 10 spies, the 12 spies, into the land of promise. But I want to look first, instead of looking at Caleb and Joshua's perspective, I want you to see the 10 spies' perspective and understand what fear will do to your life. Numbers 13, we're going to spend a lot of time in Numbers 13. So if you got your Bible, you can go there and you can hang out for a little bit. Numbers 13, we're going to start in verse 27. Verse 27. It'll be on the screen. Then they told him and said, so Moses has sent these 12 spies into the land. They have spied out the land. And now verse 27 is their report. Then they said, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. They were carrying the grapes that two men had to carry. This is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak were giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. In other words, we are surrounded by enemies. We are surrounded. I'm telling y'all, if I would have read that like I just read it right now yesterday, this point would be totally different. We are surrounded by enemies. And so now, they come back and they tell Moses, we went to the land where you sent us. We saw it flows with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. Nevertheless. So they not only saw the fruit of promise, they saw the enemies of promise. And you have a choice. You can either focus on the fruit of what God has promised you, or you can focus on the fact that there are enemies of your promise. And not only are there enemies of your promise, you are surrounded by enemies. And they came in and they said, basically they said, there's no chance. There's no chance. And can I tell you something? Today, oftentimes, fear masquerades as wisdom. Fear puts on the mask of wisdom. And it says, we shouldn't do that because of this, and we shouldn't do that because of the money, and we shouldn't do that because of... The question is not whether you should or shouldn't. The question is, did God tell you it's yours? And so you've got people who are stuck in a season because they've allowed fear that looks like wisdom to keep them there. And fear will silence what you're doing. Fear will keep you in wilderness. And here they are, they're standing there, and they said, we've seen the, they say, here's fruit. Nevertheless, the people that dwell in the land are strong. And basically they're telling Moses, sure, God has given it to us, but wisdom says we should just stay here. You know, oftentimes in your walk with God, he will ask to take steps that are risky. That wisdom would tell you, that natural wisdom would tell you not to take. But let me tell you this about wisdom. True spiritual wisdom will never keep you out of the promises of God. Okay, I'm going to say that again for the three people that got it. True spiritual wisdom will never keep you out of the promises of God. If God has said it, it's for you and it is good for you. Are you with me this morning? And so Sometimes we are so petty in the things that we allow to keep us where we are. Am I right or am I wrong? We are so petty. We're just, you know, God, I just don't really know. Money is kind of funny right now. And does he own the cattle on 1,000 hills or does he not? Now, that does not mean that you go out and be foolish, because true spiritual wisdom will not let you be foolish. There's a balance. There's discernment. But to not enter into a promise because you are afraid of what the enemy is going to do to you once you get in there, that's fear. Fear. And I want to talk to you about somebody just real quick who basically looked at spiritual wisdom, or looked at wisdom masquerading as fear, or fear masquerading as wisdom, and said, forget it. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this. Therefore, it is a faith. Everybody say faith again. That might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that are not as though they are, who contrary to hope believed in hope, so that he became the father of many nations according to that which is spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, listen to the characteristics of ferocious faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. You know you are old when you are still living and God puts it in his word that your body was already dead. Poor Abraham. It's just so rude of God. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory. So here's this 100-year-old man. And God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And what does he do? He believes God. Even though his body was past the point of creating life and Sarah's womb was dead, he considered not his body. He considered not her womb. He didn't even pay attention to fear. Come on, are you with me? He didn't even consider that it was logistically and physically impossible for Sarah to get pregnant. He just did what God told him to do. Amen. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. So he is now called the friend of God. And in verse 20 said he did not waver. He did not toss back and forth. The Bible said in James chapter 1, let all men lift their hands everywhere without wrath and doubting, for him who doubts is like a sea, he's like a wave tossed about in the ocean. Doubt will cause you to be one way one day and another way the next. He's like a sea, like a wave in the sea. But the Bible said of Abraham, he did not waver, even though the conditions of his life said what God was promising him was impossible. What God was promising him was impossible. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced that what God had said, God will do. Fear would tell you, God just told you that to make you feel good. Fear would tell you, well, that's a nice idea, but it's probably not going to happen. Fear would tell you, you should not take any risk. Are y'all, see, when I start talking about risk, I feel there's got to be discernment. There's got to be, yeah, sometimes there does. But discernment will always lead you in the direction of God. Discernment will always take you where God is. Any gift that God gives is always going to lead you to the Father. And sometimes you've got to come out here and you've got to step where there is no stair. And just believe that while you're on your way down, God is building us another step. I'm about to fall. You got to believe that on your way down, God is going to provide another step and you're going to land on solid footing. That's what he told Israel in Psalm 121. He said, David said, I lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. Neither will he suffer my foot to slip. In other words, when I step out in faith, I'm strong. When I'm running, when I'm fighting, when I'm walking, the footing underneath me is strong because the Lord is my help. He's my provider. The sun will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. He will preserve my going in and coming out both now and forevermore. Because he's the God of Israel. He's the God of me. He's my help. And so when I step out in faith where there is no step, God always makes a way so long as I'm walking in his will. So long as I'm walking in his will. And so it's easy to be sidetracked by faith. Now I want to, or by fear. Now I want to continue looking at these 10 spies. I wish that I had a better name for them because they were not good spies. Numbers 13:31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we skip verse 30, we're going to come back to that in a minute. That had gone up with Caleb said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Then verse 33, now I want you to catch this, and I want you to catch it real good. There we saw the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And in their sight. In order to have ferocious faith, you have to have a ferocious perspective of who you are. They come into this land that God has promised them. And they come back to Moses and they say, we can't because they're too strong and we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. You've got to begin, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but we have to begin to look at ourselves the way that God sees us. We are not grasshoppers. We are the giants. We are the ones that God has raised up. And they came into Moses and they said, we can't do this because we're grasshoppers in our own sight. And if we're grasshoppers in our own sight, surely we're grasshoppers in their sights. And here is the result of fear. Numbers 14, 22, and 23. Because all these men who have seen my glory, this is God speaking, and that which in the signs I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly will not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. Fear will keep you out of promise. Fear will snatch promise right out from under you. Here are these men. God said it himself. He said, they saw what I did. These are men. Think about it for a minute. These are men that watched the Red Sea just split open. Come on. These are men that have been turned around and watch Pharaoh get swallowed up by the sea. And he said, they saw me do this, and yet they still did not believe. And because of that, they will not see the land of promise. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay. Because in order to identify faith, you have to identify what it's not. Everything I just talked to you about, not faith. But let's talk about a different perspective. Let's talk about a faith perspective. Numbers 13, verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Faith brings peace. peace to fear. Come on. Think about it. Here are these 10 spies that have come, and they have got these people all riled up. These people are looking to Moses all sketched, like, you are about to lead us to our death. Here you've done led us in these wilderness. We don't know what we're doing, where we're going. You are the worst leader. And now you're leading us to the land of giants to be killed? You could tell they were starting a riot. And Caleb stood up and he quieted the people. Because again, faith brings calm to fear. And he said, let us go up at once. Come on. Let us go up now and possess it. For we are well able. Everybody say well able. We are well able to overcome it. We are well able. That word well able, that phrase, it means to prevail, prevail over or against, to overcome or to be a victor. He said we are well able. Now 1 John 5 and 4. Do you know today that faith alone, faith and works makes you victorious? Oh, my Lord, people, come on. Faith makes you victorious. You are well able. And the Bible said in 1 John 5 and 4, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is, listen to this, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Come on, our faith. Then you read things like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, beginning. The Bible said, what shall we say then? He said, we are killed all the day long and counted as sheep for the slaughter. And he said, and it is written for thy sake that we're killed all the day long and counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more. Here's conqueror, here's us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57, Paul said, thanks be unto God who is always leading us into triumph. Then in John 16, 33, Jesus is standing before his disciples and he says, this is what I'm going to tell you. Be not afraid and don't be dismayed, because in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if he is overcome, I have overcome. If he is overcome and won the victory, I have overcome and won the victory. And Caleb, in the face of 10 people who were in fear, not in wisdom, who were afraid to enter the promise, in the face of all of them, he stood up and said, we are well able. I'm not a grasshopper, is what he was saying. I'm not a grasshopper. You can speak for yourself, but you can't speak for me. Well able. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things. Everybody say all things. A, double L, capitalized, underlined, italicized, all things. Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. Mark 9:23, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Mark 11, verse 22, beginning, Jesus is standing there and he says, have faith in God. That's how he starts this dissertation. Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe. Everybody say believe. But believe those things that he says shall come to pass. He will have whatsoever he prays. When? He prays. And we have to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to take on the perspective of those around us who do not have faith. Caleb said, they came in, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb said, I'm well able. I don't know what you are talking about. I don't know what you saw. I'm well able. Come on. It's time that we stop allowing people to speak death over us. You're not a grasshopper. You are well able to possess it. Then look at Caleb's result by faith. And then we're going to talk about Caleb for a minute. Numbers 14, 24. This is after God has now said these 10, and anybody that didn't believe, so all the people that were rioting, they will not enter into the promised land. Verse 24 of Numbers 14. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went and his descendants. I want you to just let that sink in on you. His descendants. Because faith does not just affect you. Faith affects your children and their children and their children. His descendants shall inherit it. Are you willing to have faith for something that you may never see but your children will walk in? Come on, just read Hebrews 11. All these people of faith looking for a city. Abraham lived his life. He never saw the land of promise. Moses lived his life. He never saw the land of promise. But he believed it. Believed it. And are you willing? Are some of you willing to have faith in something that you may never see, but you know your children will walk in them? Come on. That's faith. Then in Joshua 14, I want to read you Joshua's response. In Joshua 14, 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, or Caleb's response. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I want you to catch this. Listen, if you haven't listened to me the rest of the day, listen to me now. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day Moses sent me. And just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both going in and coming out. Now therefore, give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard him in that day, how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let's talk about Caleb. Caleb held the personality of a possessor. Number one, he was after his inheritance. Verse 9 of Joshua 14, Moses swore and said, the place where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance. The word inheritance means something inherited to occupy or to possess. Genesis 22:17, God is speaking, and he said that in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea of the shore, and thy seed shall possess. Everybody say possess. Shall possess the gate of his enemy. The word possess means to occupy by driving out the former tenant and possessing in their place. Joshua 1:11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you will pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord God has given you to possess. Joshua 3:10. And Joshua said, hereby you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites, without fail. Now go back to Genesis 22:17, because it's about you. He said, your seed. Galatians 3, he was speaking to Abraham when he said that. Galatians 3:16 said, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people. It says, and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. And then in Galatians 3:29, listen to what the Bible said. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. So the promise spoken to Abraham was that his seed would possess the gate of his enemy. He would possess the gate. The gates in the scripture represent authority. When you possess a gate, you possess authority that was once in the hand of your enemy. And what I have to understand is that Caleb was standing there. He was not weak in his body. He was as strong now as he was then. And he lifted up his voice and he said, now, give me this mountain. Because God told me I would possess this land. And possessing is not a peaceful thing. Because again, that word possess means to drive out. Means to drive out the former tenant. And you take his place. So some people will say, well, I'm just going to possess the land. And they just sit there. Well, I'm just waiting on these people to leave. No. Possessing means war. Pick up your weapons. Pick up your fight. And go in and drive out the enemy that is possessing what God has given you. And then you occupy where he once possessed. Possessing the inheritance. Then number two, Caleb was a man of integrity. For 45 years, Caleb held to the promise. And he said, here I am today, 85 years old. Integrity, the definition, is a strict adherence to a specific code of values and a constancy in such profession. So know what the Bible said. Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. So here's Caleb for 45 years. Some of you would have given up. Some of us, not some of you, some of us. I probably would have been in that camp. Like, Lord, you said this thing 45 years ago. I'll go ahead and just die here. 45 years. For 45 years. Just think about it. God spoke to him and he said, I'm going to let Caleb inherit the land that he said. God did not attach the caveat, but you'll just have to wander in the wilderness for 45 years. He just heard, that land is mine. Here's why I believe he made Caleb wander. A faith that is not tested is a faith that can't be trusted. Here's Caleb. God has promised him something. And some of us are like, God, why can't I just have it all now? If God gave you everything that you were praying for now, it would kill you. Because there's a process to every promise God has made. He'll show you glimpses here. He'll show you glimpses there. Show you what it looks like, what it's going to be like. But if he gave it all to you now, maybe your character wouldn't be ready. Maybe your integrity wouldn't hold up. because it's a constant process. Maybe your spirit life wouldn't hold up. And a faith not tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And Caleb had faith for the process of the wilderness. So God promises him that, and he still had to walk around. See, I would have been real bitter if I was Caleb. I'm like, look, God promised me this, and now I'm here stuck because of you. I'm stuck here in the wilderness where there is no milk and honey. There's not grapes that I've got to have two people help me carry. There is manna, rocks, that's it. Because of you. Nor in the scripture do you read Caleb as bitter. You read that when he came to his mountain, he said, I've wandered around in these wilderness for 45 years. Wondering when. And now that I'm here, I'm strong now like I was then. It's integrity. It is believing God all the way through. It's believing that God is going to do what he said he would do. Even if you have to wander. Even if you have to wander sometimes. Then he has integrity. He has an inheritance. Then he's invigorated. Joshua 14:11. I am as strong today as I was then. That word strength means vigor, ability, force, or might. In Joshua 14:12, the Bible said, if the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out. It's the same thing that David said when they came back from war and their sons and daughters and wives were gone and their houses were burned, and their materials were stolen. And David went into a corner by himself, weeping, I might add. He's crying out to God. God, they want to stone me. They want to kill me. What are we going to do about this? This is, of course, the Michael Oldfield translation. What are we going to do about this? The Bible said, David then began to encourage himself in the Lord. Began to encourage himself in the Lord. In other words, it doesn't look right. Doesn't sound right. All my stuff is gone. It's been stolen. I've been stolen from, I've been stripped of everything that I held dear. But I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And then David got done encouraging himself, and he knew what to do. He looked at God, and he said, shall we go up? And he asked him, will you go with us? And God said, go up. I will surely go with you, and you shall recover all. You shall. Your sons, your daughters, your possessions, your houses, you shall recover. It's a promise. Now, David could have cowered in fear and said, well, these men just came in and tore our little community to pieces. I'm not going to go fight them. But when he asked the Lord, what is it? What should we do? Should we go up? And when God said, go up, the Bible said David went up at once. He got his men together, and they immediately went up. And the Bible said, they recovered all. And then David named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord has broken through to my enemy with my hand. He didn't break through on his own. He used my hand to do it. He didn't do it because he's God and he's sovereign. No, he used my faith to go to an enemy, and he's broken through to them with my hand. And he recovered all. Now, he was in just as strong. And there comes a point in the process where you've got to ask God, strengthen me. Give me strength. Do it again. It's just like Samson when he had his hair cut off. He stood between the pillars of the temple and he put his hands on the temple and he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, this one more time. Just this one more time. He pushed those pillars and the temple collapsed and he killed more men in his death than he did when he was alive. And then he was inclined Joshua 14:12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Joshua 14:15. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. In other words, they went in and renamed the place after Caleb took it over. And you don't want to know who he took it over from? He took it over from giants. And then the land had rest from war. So not only did he go into the land of the giants to possess, he went up against Arba, who was the greatest of the giants. He didn't fight the junior high giant. Come on. He didn't fight the middle school giant. He fought the greatest giant. The greatest. It's just like, look, talk about David and Goliath now. I'm probably going to come back to it in a couple weeks. It's just like David, who came to bring his brother's food and heard this giant mocking God and the people. David walked up to the king. What kind of gall do you have to walk up to a king and say, who is this? Why is he still alive? But they were afraid. And the king tried to put armor on David. I'm going to try not to preach this right here because I want to save something for a couple weeks. Tried to put his armor on David. David said, I can't use that. It doesn't fit me. Be careful when people try to give you something that won't fit you for battle. Wouldn't fit him, so he took it off. He went down to the brook. He picked up 5 smooth stones and put them in his satchel. Looked up to that giant. This story is just so much better to me when my daughter says it. Because she has this little kid's Bible and it says, David was, and we'll stop. And David was, she'll go, very brave. My heart will melt, but this is the part that really gets me. And the next part of the Bible said, and David went out to fight the giant, and David said, and she'll go, I fight you in the name of God. Amen. He said it. He said, you come at me with sword and shield, but I come at you in the name. And he put a stone in his sling. And he slung it around and he let it go. And there was only one place in the giant's armor where there was an opening. And it hit him right there. Not only did David kill him with the stone, he took the giant's sword and he cut his head off. Possessing is not for the weak. Come on. Possessing is that this went way different than what I thought it was going to go. And that's totally okay. But I feel led to say something because a lot of times we see the promise. We see the big one. Y'all, anybody got big promises over your life? Yes, you do. Read your Bible. And if you read your Bible, you see you do. But then other times God prophetically, he'll lead you. He'll guide you, give you direction prophetically. I've got promises like that. And so many times we want to have those public victories of our promise. Let's talk about David, though, because before you ever read about Goliath, you read about a lion and a bear when nobody else was watching. And so we're so quick to desire these promises in public. And God is saying, if you'll handle the lion and bear in private, you'll kill your giant in public. If you'll take care of the things that require integrity and character, take care of that anger, take care of that lust, I'll give you your promise. I'll give you your promise in front of kings and in front of warriors. Stand with me.